You're listening to Leveling Up, and I'm Arielle, your host.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Leveling Up. My name is Arielle Miller, and I'm your host, and welcome to episode 7, and I'm calling episode 7, Finding Your Happiness. So for episode 7, I wanted to take some time to talk about a topic that's on a lot of our minds, and that's happiness. So I want to frame our thinking with the question of how to be happy. And that's a pretty loaded question if you think of it. And how many times in your life have you said to people that you love or people that you know, oh, I'm just not happy? Or the converse of, oh my God, I am so happy. Or, oh my God, I am so happy for you, to someone who's going through something really great. So what does that even really mean? But I want us to take a look at this world that we live in where it's really an unhappy kind of world. And it's really an isolating world that we live in at this point, where we're looking at other people and the life that they're living, and we're looking at this one-dimensional image that they share with us through social media and also what we see on the media about how all of these people who have wealth and seemingly everything in the world and how happy they are, or the era of the influencer and how these influencers seem to not only have it all, but how they're eternally happy. There's a lot of these people on social media, especially, who never have a bad day. Perfect, flawless skin, perfect body, everything in their life is going well. They just got engaged, they're having kids, they just bought a house, and they have everything, and every single day is rainbows and roses and ponies and glitter and unicorns. And here's what I'm going to say about that person that is seemingly always happy, or those people in the world that we think are happy, is the reality is that nobody is happy all the time. And anyone who says that they're always happy is lying to you, and that is bullshit. And I'm not sitting here saying, like, I am a naysayer Nancy or a negative Nancy about saying, no, you can't be happy all the time. No, you absolutely can be happy all the time. But happiness is an emotion. Emotions are fleeting, and we cycle emotionally. Can you be happy much of the time? Absolutely, and I hope so. But can you be happy all of the time? Absolutely not. Look at it this way. Are you sad all of the time? Are you angry all of the time? Are you listless all of the time? No. So emotions are fleeting. However, is the goal and the main objective to be happy most of the time or much of the time in our life? I would say the goal is absolutely to be happy. I think that people are afraid of admitting when they're in a low or when they're not happy. And I think that the reason why people are afraid to say that they're not happy is they're worried about other people judging them. For example, if someone is battling something, someone is struggling with depression and anxiety per se, we think that if we publicly talk about it, that this vulnerability is a sign of weakness and that there's something fundamentally wrong with you if you're battling something that's making you unhappy. But we're worried about being judged. And we're also worried about the stigma behind mental illness per se. And what I can say, as someone who suffers from depression, I also do take antidepressants, and ever since I've been 14 years old, there have been points of my life where I've cycled on and off various antidepressants. And are antidepressants right for everyone? No. But are antidepressants right for some people? The answer is yes. In my case, what I can tell you is you can be happily unhappy, if you will. And I think that's what depression can be. I know that I love my life. I love my husband. I love my family most of the time. I'm just kidding. I love my family. I love the work I do in education and in fitness. I love my students. I love my colleagues. I truly lead a blessed existence. When I say that I can be happily unhappy, there is a overwhelming sense of sadness that is beyond my control. Right now, I'm kind of in the midst of that little bit of that low, and that's okay, because there's a saying of, right now, it's like this. And that's for the good and the bad, is that things can be good and things could not be good. The good will inevitably fade and the bad will inevitably fade. It will always change. That is the ebb and the flow that is life. However, recognizing when you're unhappy. And I had said to my husband this weekend, I said, hey, babe, I think I'm a little depressed. And he said, I know. And what I can tell you is I've got so many awesome shifts going on in my life, personally and professionally. And I'm totally thriving. And I'm like loving this space that I'm in. But I know my signs. I know when my body and my my head and my heart are saying that something is off. And for me, what that is sleeping. Sleeping is my own personal coping mechanism when I am working through something. It is my escapism. Sleeping is how I simply and utterly avoid confronting what needs to be confronted. And when I talk about sleeping, I'm not talking about going to bed early and sleeping late. I'm talking about coming home from work and taking a 4-hour nap. Notice how I had said sleeping and didn't say nap, because a 4-hour nap ain't no nap. That is a sleep. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and this is Monday, by the way, when I'm recording this, I took these pretty epic naps. And what I can tell you as somebody who is kind of in this little bit of a lull right now, not that I'm not happy. Remember I said you can be happily unhappy? For me, those signs are these massive naps that don't leave me recharged. As a matter of fact, they leave me more depleted than in the first place. What compelled me to nap to begin with was the fact that I literally didn't have the will to carry on with my day, that my body had such an ache and such a heaviness that had I have not laid down to sleep, I literally could have just fallen asleep standing. When I say that finding your happiness, I'm going to be completely honest when I say that for me, happiness has always been something I've had to consciously work at. And here's the thing about happiness that I think a lot of people fail to recognize is happiness is an inside job. Happiness isn't going to come from anything or anyone else other than doing the good old-fashioned work on the inside. And while I'm kind of in this little bit of a place right now that isn't my best self and best place, it's that awareness. It's that awareness to say that, you know what? I know how to be happy. I know I'm worthy of being happy. And I know that I can be happy because I can make the choice to choose to be happy. And that's just it. We need to intend to be happy. So when I say that we need to intend to be happy is remembering that we make the decision to consciously choose attitudes and behaviors that lead to our happiness over unhappiness. I've come up with a list of 5 really simple things that are things in my life. They're not expert testimony. They're just anecdotal about 5 simple things that you could take away from today's episode so that you can go ahead and find your happy. For number 1, real simple, like I've just said, it's choose happiness. Making happiness a top goal and priority. Just like you would work for anything that you want in this life, like you'd work for a promotion, like you would work to get a job, like you would work for a physique or a fitness goal or a competition or to study for a test, like anything else, a marathon you would train for. It's the same thing with happiness. It's prioritizing your happiness above anything and everything. It's also telling yourself, I can learn how to be happy, and reprogramming your beliefs and your values. Many years ago, my best friend Rachel can tell you, oh my God, she was there for the very dark years, as I like to call them. And I referenced them in my first episode about my 20s, how I can't believe I have any friends from my 20s, and there really aren't that many, but Rachel is one of them. Shout out to you. God bless you, Rachel. In my 20s, when like Facebook was all the rage and so was MySpace, MySpace was kind of phasing out and Facebook was all the rage. You used to see your friends and you used to actually care, I guess, how many friends you had on Facebook. And now that's an Instagram thing and that's a whole other story. But I used to call Rachel up and we would chuckle and laugh, or I'd be angry because people would delete me. They would unfriend me on Facebook. The unfriending on Facebook wasn't as big a deal as today unfollowing on Instagram, but alas, I digress. I used to post these horrible things on Facebook. When I say horrible, nothing I wrote was positive. I would constantly talk about how much I hated life. I hated going to the gym. I hated going to work, how I had to do grades, how I had to do this, how I had to do that, how some boy, which there were a lot of boys, who broke my heart, and how nobody in this world can be happy because fuck, I'm not happy, you can't be happy, you shouldn't be happy. Hell, I am ashamed to say it. I even wrote something, and I remember it, in the topic of happiness, and I wrote this whole long diatribe about how I don't understand what it means when people say, I'm happy for you. And I said, I can't possibly understand what that means, like, I'm happy for you? I'm not happy for you and your success. Like, that was literally my thinking. I'm sad to say that that's who I was, but I'm also proud to say, emphasis on the was, is I'm not that person anymore. Remember how I said that it's about reprogramming your beliefs and values, is that you can choose to be happy. You can choose to no longer be that negative person. And I used to hide my negativity, and I would hide behind it by saying, I'm not negative, I'm a realist. How many people in your life say that? I'm just keeping it real. There's a distinct difference between keeping something real and being negative. You can be honest and still be positive. You can be honest by encouraging people and by being a cheerleader, but you don't have to be this pervasive dark cloud. And for a large portion of my life, I was this dark cloud. God, no wonder why people didn't want to be around me. I couldn't stand being around me. Why would anyone else want to be around me? Remember, you choose happiness. Number two, a gratitude attitude. And this is something that I am so proud to share with you, two of my favorite ways to be mindful in my life. One of them is something that I instilled this year with my husband in January 2019. We have this big glass mason jar. And after January 1st, on the 2019, so the new year, I had said to my husband, I said, hey, I want to do this thing that at the end of every day, we fill out a sticky note, a post-it, and we write one thing that we're grateful for and put it into this jar. He was like, well, why are we doing that? I said, because on December 31st, 2019, we're going to dump this bin out. And we're going to open up all of our post-its and we're going to see 365 days worth of blessings, 365 sentences that show us the good that happened this year, 365 anecdotes from our year. It hasn't been done vigilantly because if we're out of town, it doesn't get done. But aside from that, we do it every single day. Sometimes I go to bed before my husband and he'll ask me if I did my post-it. And if I didn't, he'll come in and bring me my post-it with a pen so that I can do it and he can put it away. And we hold each other accountable to those checks and balances. And I've got to tell you, we're rounding out to May right now. I'm like super psyched to see what it's going to say, what I'm going to see that Greg's written and what I've written, and see how over the course of the year that I have changed. And that little bit of time that I take each day, and it's quick. Like, I literally scribble down one thing that I'm grateful for, and it's super simple. And there are days, trust me, when Greg has had a bad day or I've had a bad day, and we'll both go, ugh, like, what am I grateful for today? And I said, keep it simple. Did you have a burrito today? Because let me tell you, I mean, I can give many thanks for burritos, but seriously, there's always a silver lining. There have been days where I even wrote, like, felt good about myself today. Looking good, feeling good. Like, you gotta love yourself. There have been days where I wrote about connecting with a friend. I wrote about food, because food is obviously very important to me. But I've written about sharing experiences, written about, on a real basic level, my fitness classes. Taught a great fitness class, met someone new, got great feedback on my class, had a killer day at work. Those little things that you forget, that minutia of your day that sometimes gets overshadowed by the negativity. My second little tip for having a gratitude attitude is a journal. Now, I know that journaling can be really scary for a lot of people. My husband bought a journal in November, a beautiful leather-bound journal that he had to have. And I said to him, you're not going to write in it, but no, I'm going to write in it. If I buy this, I'm going to write in it. To date, my husband has written one time. I'm hoping that we can get him to write more. I'm not talking about writing in a journal, because that is a very scary task for a lot of people. I'm talking even simpler than that. I do this for myself, and it's called a high-low. And it's similar to the post-it activity, except what it does is you have a T-chart. One side says high and the other side says low. And I list anything and everything that was a high for the day and everything and everything that was a low for the day. And that's so I can see, comparatively speaking, my highs compared to my lows compared to my highs. And do you know what I see happen every single night? There is absolutely 150,000%, whatever you want to say, I guess, my highs outweigh the lows every single day. Now, are there days that the low is pretty big, like a big deal. Recently, my husband and I had a friend pass away, so that's a pretty big low, and you don't ever want to trivialize a low in your life. However, that's not commonplace, losing a friend. But for everything that is a low in your life, there's always going to be a balance. You'll see a little bit later on, not this episode, maybe in the next coming two episodes, that this episode that I'm referencing about my husband and I losing his best friend, that sometimes the universe gifts you with the bad something good to juxtapose it, to show you that's what this life is. Bad and good, good and bad, and everything in between. So starting with a high low and the post-it activity, two small things. Pick one, do both. However, just know that the idea behind a gratitude attitude is reflection, but also what it helps us do is shift from the bitter and the despair that exists in our life. It allows us the gift of stepping back and looking and being like, oh yeah, it's really not as bad as I thought. Number three, this is an old adage, is money can't buy happiness. I'm a school teacher. I am never going to be rich, and I knew that going into this line of work, hence why I have like a side hustle, and my side hustle has a side hustle that has a side hustle. I am so emotionally fulfilled and mentally fulfilled by the work that I do, and I don't have the things that a lot of my friends have. First, I live in Los Angeles. I rent, and I don't own a house, and I will likely not be able to own a house for maybe 10, 15 years, and I don't feel bad about that. I also don't feel bad about what I would call my station in life. I don't feel a need to keep up with the Joneses. I don't feel like my Honda Accord Sport makes me any less a person than my friend who has a Lexus truck or a Volvo truck or a BMW. I don't feel any less. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation recently with my parents about finances, and my husband and I are really hard workers, and we're both highly educated people. My husband's graduating in a month with a master's degree, and I too hold a master's degree, and we live paycheck to paycheck, and I'm not embarrassed of that. I'm not embarrassed to say that I have a lot of education, and I work really hard, and so does my husband, and we don't have much saved, if anything. I'm not ashamed of it, and I don't feel like it's some dirty little secret. But what I can tell you is while I don't have material wealth or zeros in a bank account, I have a loving, supportive husband, and I lead a life that's rich in experience. Today I was at work and I had a conversation with my colleague. She says to me, oh God, I wish I can just be like you. I was like, what do you mean you can be like me? And she's like, you're just so free. You know, you don't offer any apologies. You spend money how you want to spend money. And again, I'm not saying that I'm super responsible, but I'm also not irresponsible. The bills get paid. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't go without. If I want that shirt, I buy that shirt. If I want those shoes, I buy those shoes. Now, am I buying Manolo Blahniks? No, I'm buying like Steve Madden shoes. So it's all about perspective. And then I had shared with her, I said, look, I don't have anything. You own a house. You own rental properties. You have another income that's awesome that you don't even really need to work because you're just constantly generating income. Well, I need to work. I can't not work. I don't have anything else because I spend everything I have. And she said, but see, that's the thing. I have savings. I have houses. I have the nice car. My husband has the nice car, but I'm not any happier. And that's what has brought me over to your desk today, is that I look at you and my friends and my sister and other people who just live a life completely differently than me, and they're happy. And while I have financial means and financial freedom, I'm not any happier. And that was an interesting conversation because here's someone who's the polar opposite of me. Here's someone who's got all the money socked away in her bank account with her husband and her family. And she says, that I'm not happy. I have the money because everyone says, save, 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 save. Well, I've saved it now. Now what? I'm not any happier now that it's saved. On the other side of it is, if you're spending to fill a void, what happens is we buy, and we acquire these material things, and we're still not happy. And we think we're not happy because that we've bought the wrong stuff. And the wrong stuff is what's making us unhappy. So then we have to buy more stuff. And in turn, it's more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. But that's it. Is stuff doesn't make us happy. It's experiences, it's memories, it's smells, it's the times that you cannot recall because they all kind of blur together because they were late nights. It's the times when my best friend first moved to Los Angeles and there was this pretty simple formula to our nights. We'd go out, we'd have an awesome time and spend money we didn't have, and we would take a cab home and we'd both have had too much to drink, and I would tell the taxi driver, don't take the canyon over the hill, because it would make me sick. And then we'd go get Taco Bell, and we'd be sitting on the floor of one of our apartments eating Taco Bell at 3 o'clock in the morning, giggling like schoolgirls. I don't even know what we giggled about. I can't tell you what I wore, though. But I do have these memories of these nights strung together that were just happy and simple. And I've got to be really real here, is that wherever there is Taco Bell, there is happiness. So I guess money can buy happiness, and it's called Taco Bell. I'm just kidding. Money doesn't buy things. It doesn't buy stuff. It doesn't buy people. It doesn't buy love. Number four, fostering friendships. And I want to just emphasize the word foster, because having friends and actually being friends with them is a whole different thing. You can have this vast social network of all these people on the periphery of your life, but really, how intimately do you know them? How well do you know them? Do you spend time with them? Do you know their kids' names? Do you celebrate life cycle events together? Do you do just the birthday every year? What are you doing? Like, who is your friend that you're going to call at 2 a.m. in the morning? A strong network of friends that reflect active cultivation of relationships equates to happiness. Your friends are there for you during tough times. Those bonds that you have, like I mentioned, my best friend Rachel, those late nights eating Taco Bell on the floor, even though there has been a passage of time in the aspect of we've grown and evolved over the last 10, 12, 13 years, the one thing that never changes is our shared history. And our shared history continues to unify us. Now, while we may lead different lives, like she works in stunts right now and I'm a school teacher, we couldn't have more different lives. What continues to bind us together is this saying, I'd help you hide a dead body. I know that's like a horrible saying, but that's the depth of and quality of our friendship. She can call me anytime, anywhere, and will drop what I'm doing to be there for her. Now, you can't have a plethora of friends like that. You have friends that serve different purposes. I have my friends that I know want to go to museums with me. I have my friends that I know that will, you know, go out and grab a margarita with me. I have my friends who I know will go to the gym. I have my friends that will take a road trip. I have my friends that I know can come over and not judge me because my house is messy and sit on the couch and drink a cheap bottle of wine. You have different friends for different things. You don't have to have a catch-all friend. But the importance of friendships in today's day and age is they matter more than ever, because we are in this world where while we're seemingly more connected than ever, we're actually more isolated than ever. Social media, the internet, Wi-Fi, texting, direct messaging has bred a world of selfishness. It's bred a world of me, 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 me. It's also isolated us. Actually taking the time to really nurture friendships is crucial, because you lean on your friends when you're going through tough times. If you think about it, for most of us, we talk to our friends and see our friends more than we see our family. So your friends, they are your chosen family. Number five, one of my favorites is what moves you. Now, I say this a lot, what moves you. And typically when I say what moves you, I talk about physical movement. You can interpret number five in physical movement if you'd like. However, I'm not going there. What I want to say about what moves you is what nourishes your soul. Is that writing? Is that volunteering? Is that singing in church choir? Is that watching your kid play softball? Is it coaching soccer? Is it for you as an adult playing in a soccer league? Another colleague of mine at work today invited me to come play on her soccer team. She plays soccer at like 3, 4, 5 nights a week. That's what she does because she loves it. And she'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not very good. I'm not the best. And we don't take it very seriously, but I'm outside. I'm sweating. I'm having fun. And that's just it, is that something that moves you doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. It could be drawing. It can be painting. It can be walking. But it has to be something that you enjoy, that you don't commit to begrudgingly, whatever moves you. And for some of us, that can be movement, but it could also be meditation. It could be listening to, I don't know, a really inspiring podcast. Just saying. It can be anything and everything. Nobody can tell you what that is. To recap, here's what we got for our five things that you can cultivate to find your happiness is one, to choose your happy, meaning make it a goal. Number two, a gratitude attitude. So I recommended a high-low journal or filling out a single post-it every single night with the date and one thing about your day that was something you're grateful for. Number three, money can't buy happiness, remembering that experiences, people, and life is cultivated through doing and that things do not bring our happiness. And four, fostering friendships, creating active relationships. And finally, number five, finding something that fills your soul as what moves you. I want you to think about my list, and you'll notice how I didn't mention some of the things that are pretty popular things in finding your happiness. People always say, oh my God, to be happy, exercise. It's going to produce serotonin. Serotonin is a feel-good hormone. Yeah, you should exercise. Aside from it producing serotonin, it's good for your heart and it keeps you from dying. Yeah, for a lot of people, exercising becomes stressful. Finding the time in your day when you're raising a family to exercise now isn't happiness, it becomes a chore. When you have to say, I have to go to the gym versus I would like to go to the gym because I enjoy moving my body and I enjoy sweating. It's that dialogue, it's what we tell ourselves in that internal narrative. But exercise, while it's a very important, vital thing for physical health and yes, emotional and mental health, and for me, exercise is also very social, I'm not adding it to my list because I know that it can become an obsession and a huge stressor. Other things that people say will contribute to the happiness are sleep. Well, sleep contributes to a whole lot of things. However, I know for me, I could and should be sleeping more. However, saying that my sleep will attribute to my happiness, it doesn't really for me equate. People say practice smiling. As a woman, I hate that. As a woman, I know my friends out there, you're like, ugh. People always say smile more. And people say, you know, one of the happy techniques is to practice smiling. And then after a while, it becomes natural. I'm smiling right now. I don't know if you can hear it through my teeth. By practicing smiling, it becomes something that you don't have to think about anymore. Well, you shouldn't have to think about smiling. You smile when you want to smile. Don't overthink it. That's it. And if you have RBF, resting bitch face, don't apologize for it because it's the story of my life. Take a trip. Again, stressful if you don't have much money. And the way I see it is taking a trip is, yes, trips are important to recharging, but using that as a cure-all to find happiness, is it one element that can contribute to it? Sure. But if you're not financially able to take a trip, that could continue to contribute to adding more stress and in turn, maybe making you depressed or anxious. Moving closer to work. Again, another thing that could be a financial burden, and they do say death, weddings, moving, some of the most stressful things in the world. So these are like pretty common things that people say. And while my list is most definitely not an exclusive list, it's my list. And these are things that I wanted to share with you that are tips for me that work. And when I say that work is happiness has to be an inside job. I've had to actually work on it and again, work on it every single day to the point where I was in Venice with my best friend one day and I was like chatting up the barista at Blue Bottle and we were just laughing and smiling and my best friend looks at me and she goes, look at you all positive and shit. And I was like, I know, happiness looks good on me. And that's the truth. Happiness looks good on everybody. Finding happy doesn't need to be complicated. You're happy or any happiness. And it shouldn't be complicated. Because what happiness should be about is it should be for you. So whatever finding your happy is, or whatever it looks like for you, I wish you the best of luck on your journey in finding your happy. Thank you so much for listening to Leveling Up. This is Ariel Miller, your host. And if you enjoyed the show, please make sure to share it with other people. In addition, do not forget to subscribe and rate. Thank you so much for all that you do. Love you. Mean it. Mwah!